For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Devi Spectacular continues in part two with Corey Pereira, and we're going to talk running back, wide receiver, tight end, and some sleepers going into 2025. So jam-packed episode with Corey. Thanks so much for his dual part episode here, talking Devi on Under the Helmet.
Moving on to running back here, and 2025 projected to be much stronger than 2024 here, both in pedigree, both some of the big names. We saw Travion Henderson go back. We got Quinshon Judkins going over to play with him there in Ohio State. There's a number of big names here. If you were, you know, maybe there is Vegas betting lines right now, but if you had to pick a favorite to be running back one off the NFL draft board 11, 12 months from now, who would be your pick in 2025?
Yeah, I probably have to side with the Ohio State running back, Travion Henderson. I think that he's perfect for today's modern NFL. Between the pass-catching abilities, quick-twitch movement skills, solid build, 5'10", 215 pounds. He's apparently already running in the low 4.4s. I think the biggest knock on him has been the injuries. You know, he kind of lost the sophomore season dealing with the nagging issues. And again, only played 9 games last year. But we did kind of see him bounce back to that electric player that we saw in during that freshman season. You know, I think he squarely fits into that DeAndre Fist, Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Dalvin Cook spectrum of player, those slightly leaner, not super lean, but more like that 210, 215 range, modern slasher type running back, you know, versatile weapon who you can split out if you need him to, highly athletic. I think the big question now is how that split will be going to Ohio State now with Quinshon Judkins coming over there from Ole Miss, who is honestly probably another contender to be the first running back taken. He's just a bit of a different player, you know, more of your one-cut navigator, a bit more of play strength, you know. They'll probably be looking at, I would say, a pretty even workload, which should keep Travion fresh, which maybe we'll see him stay healthy this year and actually put up like some of the production we want to see. I will just say, don't be surprised if you don't see that the numbers aren't super gaudy this season. Just understand, he's got a guy in his backfield extremely talented that he could be going like very close to him in the draft as well. So don't be afraid to put some faith in Travion Henderson as your running back one. I think he's a perfect fit for today's NFL.
Yeah, I like him, but I always think back to, you know, I know he came off the injury, and when you look at this class and how it transpired, he might have been like a third round pick, you know, I mean, if he were coming out this year, maybe a second round pick, but I don't think he was going to be a first round pick. And he probably said, well, I have prospects to maybe do that. He's going to be a senior. So a 4-year player at running back is an ideal. He'll be 22.9 years old for a rookie. And so not ideal from that perspective, but yeah, like you're saying, big time player. I almost wonder, remember Quinshon Judkins and well, of course you do, but Ole Miss that like he actually just took the jock strap out of Zach Evans's hand. And remember, Zach Evans ended up being a huge declining player. And I think Travion Henderson's way better than that. But I almost kind of wonder, you know, the jostling for positions here, 1A, 1B in this depth chart, I wonder, you know, if someone's going to go slam the other guy in the locker and basically say, you know, I'm the captain now. And the other guy ends up being maybe a value in the NFL draft and for our drafting purposes next year, because maybe they're not both going to be, you know, top 75 picks or something like that. So it's going to be very interesting committee there with Ohio State.
Yeah, and I tend to believe that NIL also has, you know, the new world of NIL has a place to play in this as well. I don't know what kind of package they might offer Travion Henderson to stay as well, but then you also go out and get Quinshon Judkins. So I don't know, do you feel like you need him to stay as well? They are working in, you know, a whole bunch of new wide receivers. They're working in a new quarterback. Do they just kind of think we're just going to be this run heavy game? You know, you remember the days of J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber. Those guys are both going off for like 1,000 yards. Like, is that kind of the backfield they're trying to recreate here with these two kingpin running backs? So it will be interesting to see, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not so worried worried as much anymore about like the 4-year plan for a running back. I feel like guys have to wait their time a little bit. Of course, you want the early declare. You're always going to give a little bit of points for that early declare. But people are starting to kind of go convert to that best season for running back. You know, as long as we get like that one, the best season at the end of it, then we can feel pretty good about where they're going to go. Because, you know, with COVID included now, with NIL included, guys are just finding more reasons to stay the following year. Until that kind of clears out a little bit, and we can kind of see where, and plus another guy that's dealt with injuries, maybe he just wants to have a full season, and maybe he was, you know, like you said, maybe he was getting day two draft capital, he wants to get to that round one. I still don't even know if he can do that in today's NFL market where running backs are declining, but, you know, I think if there's one guy I'm going to put my chips on to do it, it's going to be him.
So if we take out 2025 guys, so those are guys that have generally built their profile already. We're not going to get a lot of, say, new starters, you know, and like you said, peaking, but they haven't really played up until this point. So we're looking at, you know, freshmen from last year. Maybe it's an incoming freshman for this year, but guys that generally haven't played, looking at 2026 plus, who do you kind of see as a big breakout guy for, hey, they're going to be a starter, big productive star in 2024 and really kind of build their profile from the ground up here?
Yeah, this one is an easy one for me because, like, this is one that my company's big on. This is one that we've been big on for a while, and that has to be Mr. Caleb Jackson, former freshman running back at LSU last year. This dude is just a chiseled 6 foot, 225 pounds. This guy runs a 10.600 meter dash time. If nobody pays attention to 100 meter dash times, that loosely equates to like a low 4.440 yard dash time. And it could get better as well as we go. The most impressive thing about that number that he hit as well is he just finished losing his senior season to a fractured ankle. And the next spring he runs a 10.6. So who knows where that could actually be? It's just freaky, really. You know, former top 12 back in the recruiting class, only got a little bit of run as a freshman last year, but I urge you, go to X, go to Twitter right now, search my handle at @FF_guitarist and Caleb Jackson. Search it all on one tier. You'll see some of the cutups I put of his runs this year. This dude was just a freight train. He's laying guys all over the place. Like, I thought he was honestly the most impressive back on the field last year with his short time. I mean, I know that's godly to say, but I honestly thought it was. And now this year, you're looking at LSU. They lose their leading rusher from a year ago. He faced some internal competition from a fifth-year walk-on, you know, who's become a bit of like a team leader guy, you know, but he didn't even run for 300 yards last year. I just think Jackson is the most superior talent there. LSU is going to be working in a new wide receiver core, new quarterback with Nussmeier. Could means they could rely on the run pretty heavily. This is, you know, one of those profiles I really think could hit last year. There's maybe a lack of a receiving profile, but I mean, I'm not worried about that yet until we see him play on the field a little bit more. So this is my big breakout for next year. I actually have him as a top 10 running back for Debbie right now.
Yeah, he's got one of the top athleticism scores in my entire model. You look at guys that have the NFL build and NFL athleticism already. He's one of the few. Like, I was drafting him as an incoming freshman last year, and obviously, you know, you projected maybe better results, but you didn't really get it last year. But man, he's going to get every opportunity to kind of redo that coming up this year for sure. Wide receiver here. Talk about Luther Burden a little bit, the profile that he's built, and who can really challenge him, you know, being the wide receiver one or close to that in Devy? Because we're seeing Luther Burden go, you know, in leagues where you're kind of resetting. And maybe if it's not super juiced up for the quarterback position, let's say, and it obviously Devy-wise, it's down for there. But talk about Luther Burden and maybe the competition he has or doesn't have atop the wide receiver there in Devy ranks and Devy drafts this year.
Yeah, I think this all kind of depends on what your preference in players is. And I think that's really interesting at the top of drafts this year. Because I think the three main guys to consider is Luther Burden from Missouri, Tatorian McMillan from Arizona, and Evan Stewart from Oregon. You know, those are like the main consensus of the top three guys, and they're all vastly different from each other. You know, you got McMillan is kind of like your T. Higgins / Drake London spectrum type of player, you know, 6'5", carries that weight really well. One of the most dominant players above the rim, contested catch extraordinaire, epic red zone threat, maybe lacking the quickness and the top end gear that some of the other guys have. Then, you know, Evan Stewart, almost the exact opposite. He's that quick twitch separator, you know, kind of in that a Garrett Wilson mold, you know, 6 foot, 175 pounds, knack for making some wow catches, has the easy ability to throttle down, change directions without losing much momentum. Maybe he lacks a little bit of play strength and some dominance above the rim like Tatorian Miller does. And he's also dealt with some injuries. So he's kind of one that's there as well. But then you got Burden. And now personally, I love a guy who is super versatile. I love a guy who is a yak monster. And on top of being a pretty good wide receiver in other aspects as well, Luther Burden brings that to the table. Like, he's a bully with the ball in his hands. He took some rushes in his freshman season and some last year as well. So you're going to hear those Deebo Samuel comps floating around. I mean, he scored three touchdowns, a touchdown in three different ways as a freshman. He's a returner, a rusher, he's a receiver. A lot of manufactured touches early on. But then you look at this past year, this second year, he took off as one of the best wide receivers in the league. 86 catches, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, was used more downfield, had 60% contested catch rate. Very stocky build, 5'11", 208 pounds, likely 4'4", low speed as well. You know, he's working his way into being, in my opinion, the most complete wide receiver of these three. And I say toss out your Deebo Samuel comparisons and give me DJ Moore, because that's who Luther Bruin reminds me of with his all-around game. And DJ Moore has been just an awesome wide receiver in the NFL. I think he's perennially underrated. And I think situation has really held him back from the kind of player he could be. And that's the kind of player I see in Luther Bruin.
Yeah, Luther Burden was like, I love how you're kind of connecting the dots here, because I was kind of thinking of Malik Nabers. You know, you think of a guy that's maybe not prototypically tall, but man, electric. And he might even be, you know, again, a bigger option than Malik Nabers, who came in, I think, around 200 pounds. And DJ Moore was a roundabout a radius comp there for Nabers for me this year. So if we keep going down that rabbit hole, it's like, that's a very high floor profile, an elite one. And you wouldn't be surprised. I've seen some mock drafts with him going in the top 5 or 10 of next year's draft. And I think it's very warranted, because I mean, he's producing right away. I mean, the odds that he has some big down year, catastrophic year, would be solely injury based. And he was also a five-star guy coming out. So, I mean, he's been building this profile since 16, 17 years old, and he's maintained this track of being a high-level prospect towards the NFL the entire time.
Yeah, and Missouri is bringing back, you know, they're bringing back their quarterback, bringing back they're bringing back so many players that he doesn't have to worry about with so much change. He can just focus on mastering his craft, furthering his craft. And that's what I like. You know, when guys have to deal with scheme changes, when guys have to deal with OC changes, quarterback changes, it hampers their production a little bit, or their development a little bit. Whereas here, all he has to do is focus on taking the next step in himself as a wide receiver, which he's done here. And that, like you said, with the Malik Nabers thing, that was something he did. First season, it was like, okay, we saw some stuff. Second season, he took that second jump. And it was like, if he takes that jump again the third season, that's a top 5 pick in the NFL. And that's the same thing that can happen here with Luther Burton.
Selfish question, because it feels like a lot's going to change with Texas. You know, obviously Quinn Ewers is staying, but they lost a drove of talent in the skill positions around quarterback. You still got Arch Manning sitting there. What do you think is going to happen? Because they brought in Amari Nyblack, they brought in Isaiah Bond, and they've got some incumbents there. Who do you think is going to maybe be a winner, a loser, just in terms of building their NFL profile here? Because there's one ball. So it feels like, you know, invariably we think it's going to be some spread around. Everybody gets a cookie. Everyone looks great. But a lot of times there's going to be a loser in terms of like, down year, they were the wide receiver 3. We thought they might be the one. They transfer out next year. Maybe they build back their profile. But who do you think is going to be a winner in terms of building their profile? And then who do you think might be someone squeezed out of the pecking order and market share of that passing game?
So the guy I'm going with here is, I am a really big fan of Isaiah Bond. And I think, you know, even just talking about it right off the bat with NFL speed kills, the NFL loves speed. Isaiah Bond is one of the fastest. Like, he's like a 10.3 or 10.200 meter dash guy. Very fast guy. A very good deep target formula role last year. I think I believe he was second in yards for Alabama last year, but he became his preferred target down the field in a lot of those situations. And I just think that's going to translate to the next level. You see the way he can throttle up. You see the way he can throttle down. You see the way he can get behind the defense. And he has great ball tracking ability as well. I think we need to see more dynamic usage from him. Being with Jalen Milroe, being at Alabama, all you really saw him used as was a deep threat. I want to see more intermediate usage from him. I want to see some more of that. I have a feeling they're going to use him like the Xavier Worthy of this offense. And a lot of people want to say Xavier Worthy is only a deep threat, blah, blah. If you actually watch Xavier Worthy, his usage was very like for people listening from the NFL side, the way the Buffalo Bills used Stephon Diggs through like his tenure, maybe not the end of last season, but through his tenure year, they used him short, they used him deep, they used him. That was actually kind of the way they used Xavier Worthy in this offense. And I have a feeling that's the way Isaiah Bond is going to be used. So I'm feeling the best about him. They also bring in Matthew Golden from Houston, who I was a big fan of, kind of had a down year last year with some injuries as well. He was very highly sought after wide receiver in the portal as well. So he's a guy that I'm looking out for. But Jonte Cook, Also, a freshman from last year's class that we were very high on over at our company. The reports about him have been super good this spring. Everybody's raving about him. So now I'm scared that it's my boy Matthew Golden coming over from Houston. It's actually going to be the guy to get the squeeze out, because there's other guys that are trying to get involved. DeAndre Mora, a freshman from last year, who I'm, you know, maybe not super excited about, but they're trying to work him in. So I tried to pay attention to the rotating wide receiver core in the spring game. Isaiah Bond was the only guy to stay on the field like 100% of the time. They're rotating all the other guys. So he's the one I read right now I'm feeling the best about. And the other guys, I think it's all kind of up in the air. But I would go Bond, then I would go Jonte Cook, then I'd go Matthew Golden. And then if you're looking at tight ends, I'm not a big fan of Amari Knight Black. So I don't know if anybody else is out there, but if you actually look at this guy, the guy looks like a wide receiver. I'm not sure I see the connection with him actually being an NFL tight end at the next level.
Yeah, he needs to put on another 10, 15 pounds. But he's explosive for a tight end, because you kind of look and he's a tweener. So obviously a tweener in college is going to look pretty twitchy, you know, and pretty rare for the position. But I wonder how that translates. He's got a drop rate issue, you know. So we'll see if he can, you know, I mean, if you've got big time talent at wide receiver, I wonder if Texas is going to be like, hey, let's not give this guy too many, you know, maybe some wide open stuff down the seam, but let's not, you know, make him a focal point, because, you know, one ball, and let's not lose some targets for Isaiah Bond or anything.
Yeah.
Devy tight end is pretty, pretty murky. We don't really have a Brock Bowers on the landscape right now. I was kind of surprised some of my bigger tight end premium formats with Devy drafts this offseason. Again, some of the names, and I was researching pretty heavily, I have a hard time buying it. Like, it feels like the consensus is Colston Loveland is like that big can't miss guy coming out of Michigan here. I'm not quite as high on him of like saying like, oh, Devy tight end one, and this is going to be great and high upside and all this stuff that we've typically had. You know, we went from Pitts to, you know, Bowers. We've had a lot of good options. You know, Kincaid really peaked out at the very end of his career. So what's the landscape like in general? And, you know, you already said, you know, Nye Black probably not going to be a guy that joins that group per se, but it feels very up in the air, tight end one through five in 2025.
Yeah, no, it's very up in the air right now. And I think, you know, I even said, give a little love to Canvas Can over there. We do a Devy guide every offseason where we cover, you know, freshman class all the way to your next upcoming class next year. So we're ranking all these guys, over 250 players. You know, if you ever want to check that out, go over to campuscan.com. That's $20 one-time purchase. You can see profiles on all these guys, 250 unique profiles. Now, when we did it, Colston Loveland ended up as our tight end six. Eight rankers, but like you were saying, he ended up as our tight end six. The guy at the number one spot for us was back over at Iowa, the tight end factory, and that is Luke Lachey. Okay, and now you want to talk about Iowa tight ends. You know, you're talking about Noah Fant. You're talking about TJ Hawkinson. You're talking about George Kittle. You're talking about Sam Laporta. And these guys weren't even high pedigree guys. So, I mean, if you're even going to be a walk-on guy going to Iowa, I'm probably going to bet on you. Because, honestly, there's not a lot of metrics I feel like correlate from tight end success production in college to the NFL.
Did you go to Iowa? The new qualifiers, did you go to Iowa?
That's it.
Another one in Gavin Hoffman, like another one that's putting on weight and looking pretty good, and he's going to be the new Lachey, you know, in a year or two. So
yeah, they have another one, Ostragna, over there, who's actually showed up a little bit well too. That's a guy that's kind of like on our radar to see if he can take the next step. But yeah, I mean, and some people want to talk about Eric All, who entered the draft this year as kind of like a sleeper. Right. Eric All season wouldn't have even happened without Luke Lachey getting hurt, because he actually led the team. He was a guy who came in as a starter for Iowa, led the team through the first 2 weeks. You know, 6'6", 253 pounds. He moves all over the lineup. He's out wide. He's in the slot. He moves so good, actually, for a 6'6 player. I'm actually like, I'm impressed with the way that he can move. He graded out actually as a really steady blocker as well, if you look at the PFF grades, and he's been blocking for like his whole career as well behind some of these guys too. So I'm actually pretty excited to see what he can do. I mean, coming back from the injury, we've got to see how he's going to look, but I'm actually pretty excited to see what he can do in this tight end room. And then if I'm going to give you one other name, just going to head over to another tight end factory, because I'll tell you right now, I'm not a huge tight end guy when it comes to Devy tight ends, but this is actually one that I don't hear a lot of people talking about. We're going to go over to Penn State, and you know, we're talking about the tight ends over there. Pat Fryer, Mike Gesicki, Theo Johnson this year got drafted. It's another tight end factory over there. I want to talk about Tyler Warren, okay? 6'6", 260-pound guy, had a 127-yard effort in the Chick-fil-A Bowl last year. That was a Penn State bowl game record last year. The most by any Nittany Lions in a game since like Pat Freiermuth in 2020. That's a stat I have here. I thought I'd pull that one out for you. But anyways, just a guy great in contested and jump ball situations, extremely natural ball tracker. For some one who was actually relatively new to the receiver position as well. Played a little bit of quarterback, played on the defensive side of the ball back in high school. You know, I think he has promising ability as a mover as well. He's spotlighted as a wildcat quarterback in goal line situations, so he has some of that versatility to him as well. Over 65% contested catches through his career as well. So I think he can improve a lot of things. I think he relies a lot on athleticism right now. There's not a lot of route running to what he does. He's a big body guy. He knows how to use it. So I think I want to see a little bit, use that leverage a little bit better. I want to see him a little bit more deception in his routes. But I mean, coming into the year, Dane Brugler of The Athletic, a guy who's really synonymous with the draft Knicks, right? Right now, when you're talking about draft analysts right now, he had Tyler Warren as like a top five tight end at one point coming into the end of the offseason. He ended up not declaring and going back. So that just tells me the NFL is already in on him and is liking him quite a bit. So if he can put it together this year without Theo Johnson and be the guy this year, which we'll see what happens at Penn State. Not really a tight end production factory, but one that at least gets him to the NFL.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Yeah, wide receiver hasn't always been all that prominent for Penn State, so that would be a, you know, feather in the cap for tight end producing, and fingers crossed on Drew Aller, right?
Yeah, yes, I mean, yes,
man. Going back to the quarterback conversation, I just remember you said we were talking about guys building their profile and just kind of being anointed from being an incoming and playing freshman. He had that chance, you know, Drew Aller had that chance, and he's really kind of fallen off, turned more into Hackenberg, you know, than 101 for the NFL purposes coming up. And again, but that was a guy that could have been earmarked, you know, and been a, can't wait for him to, you know, finish his next 1 or 2 years and be in the NFL draft. And we're kind of a far away from that ground. So we have one more question here. So this is a listener question from Jonathan. He sure. basically asks, you know, a generalized question. So this is going to be a cleanup thing where Corey, you can go off and do your paint. You know, this is going to be the artistry part. So
okay.
just talking Fair. Generally, you know, we're always looking for sleeper devies, maybe avoid or overhyped guys. But you've mentioned so much. Thank you so much for sharing your time and talents. But what kind of would you like to just dump truck at the end, or one of your favorite guys that's a target or avoid that you can really leave folks with?
I'll give it a little bit of a talk, because I know a lot of your listeners are a little bit more on the shallower side of Devy. So I'm going to give some guys at the top that I think could be really sneaky guys, at least going into next year. I'm going to start over at Kansas State, running back by the name of DJ Giddens. Really broke out this year. 6'1", 212 pounds, 1,200 yards this past year. And he didn't even enter the season as a starter. He wasn't even projected to be. And ended up taking over that job by midseason. You know, he really caught my eye. If you guys know who Deuce Vaughn is, the guy who went over to one of the shortest backs in the NFL, went over to Dallas Cowboys, he was backing up Deuce Vaughn. And he actually caught my eye while I'm watching Deuce Vaughn, I keep seeing this guy. You know, what's this guy? Like, he looks pretty good back there. You know, really good receiving chops, a patient and manipulative runner near the line of scrimmage. He just has a whole package of things that he can do in the way he can affect an offense. Maybe not the greatest athlete, but such a well-rounded guy. He gives me vibes of Rashad White. in the NFL, and that how that receiving those receiving chops could get him to the next level and get him on the field a lot, and then refine the rushing ability a little bit at the next level. So he's a guy I think could actually end up, you know, maybe a day two pick next year. So I'm very excited about him. And then on the wide receiver side, give you one more name here, guy over at Stanford who kind of had a big year this year, Elik Eumanner. Big, strong kid, 6'2", 210 pounds. If you want to know who Elik Eumanner is, turn on Elik Eumanner versus Colorado and watch him beat up Travis Hunter, a projected top 10 pick in the NFL draft next year. Watch him beat up on this guy all game. If you watch this game and just this one game of Elik Eumanner, you might think he was AJ Brown. But he doesn't have all games this way, and I'm just going to say that. But if you just watch this one game, he went off for like 300 yards, caught three touchdowns. Just a super physical presence and an underrated athletic profile as well, like a 10.700 meter dash. And he's a guy who suffered a nasty knee injury in his freshman season. This was his first season off of it, and he went over 1,000 yards. The further you get away from these injuries, the better you start looking. And now we're going into year two away from that injury. I'm just thinking the sky is a ceiling for this guy, and he could be, you know, that next big possession receiver that the NFL kind of falls in love with. So I'm looking at those two guys as kind of sleepers. If I want to go to the other side here, talk about some overvalued players, I don't know if I'm going to get a little spicy here, but I'm with about two guys near the top of rankings for a lot of guys. Okay. Let's start at the quarterback position. That's over back at Colorado. Now we'll talk about Shedeur Sanders. Okay. I think that I will say that I think the arm talent impressed me a little bit more than I actually thought watching back at Jackson State. But that was about it for me this year. I will say his pocket presence is horrendous. Colorado has a bad O-line, so it's not all on his fault, but he holds onto the ball forever. He doesn't know how to maneuver in the pocket as well. He just backs up all the time. Like I always say, I relate it to if you ever play Madden with bad Madden players and they just back up in the pocket till they see somebody get open. Like they don't know how to climb or like go to the side or
that's
whatever.
That's what we saw with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson was a reverse player. Yeah,
exactly. That's the same thing with Shedeur. That's the same thing I see. And I, you know, he tends to panic when that first read goes away. He's not much of an athlete either. I think he's more of a product of a system that was there as well that people want to admit. Sean Lewis was the OC there. He was OC till about like week six or something like that. They ended up canning him. I have no idea why. Maybe he just was meshing with Deion Sanders and whatever. But until about like week five or six, Shedeur Sanders splits his completion percentage with Sean Lewis, 70%. Without him, 60%. Yards per game with 357 yards without, 197, 2.6% big time throw rate with him, 1% without him. So it almost seemed like he was really thriving in that system. And when they changed it on him, he wasn't thriving as much anymore. So I think he's a really flashy name that, you know, Deion Sanders' son, Hall of Fame Deion Sanders. And I wouldn't even be surprised if he got draft capital out of that. He reminds me a lot of Geno Smith. That's kind of the guy that I see when I see him. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if his NFL career is kind of the same, kind of up and down, bridge quarterback here, gets some starting opportunities here. Maybe gets to start out the gate or whatever, ends up a second round pick in the NFL. Like I think that could actually be the path for Shedeur Sanders, not a first round pick to me. My last name to wrap this thing up, I'm going to go with a running back that I see in a lot of top 10s, top 5s, even some people's even running back one, Ashton Jeanty over at Boise State. Okay. This guy's 5'9", 210 pounds. I understand the intrigue with him. He's a very good receiving back and a running back who thrives in space. I love that. Almost had 50 receptions on the year. Definitely a guy who can be split out wide, can be a little bit of a versatile weapon for his offense. I don't find him to be a refined runner around the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of open holes on his tape. He's not really that creative on the second level. I expected him to be a lot more 50, and I just didn't see what I expected. The lower level of competition for him will always be a question mark with me too. This is a guy who regularly averages 6 yards, per carry. His career average is 6.1. He has never broken 5 yards per carry against a Power 5 team and actually averages under that. There's an argument to be made for the fact that the team is just overmatched in those situations, but that's the whole thing with G5 competition. They're just a step down in talent, and sometimes that's just something that I put into the profiles because that there's a big come up when you eventually face a lot of people at that higher pedigree of talent. I think he's I don't think he's a great athlete. I don't think he has a home run gear to him, and I think that I see some like Austin Eckler in his game, and maybe I'm kind of underselling the rushing a little bit and harping too much on the receiving ability, but that's just kind of what I see when I see him. I see a more instinctual runner than a refined runner, and I just haven't been able to buy in at the price people are going with him at.
So it sounds like you would view maybe like round three as his peak, you know, or ceiling for the NFL draft, but you wouldn't be surprised if it's day three at all.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if it's day three at all. But if he ends up a day two pick, I don't think that's crazy. I mean, we've seen G5 running backs go. I'm not going to lock myself into a G5 running back at the top of this draft like some people are starting to do, like running back one, running back two. People, like, we posted a running backs list the other day, and we had Ashton Jeanty as running back 10 going into our 2025 draft.
Yeah,
that's
right. I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people got on us for that right away. Yeah. Which, like, I don't know. I just don't see it as the same way people, I think people see the production. I think there's a disconnect between what the production he does in CFF compared to what his actual NFL value is.
Fair. Fair. Yeah. If I go just by my model, he's the number one guy. But then again, it doesn't factor in draft.
Which makes sense. Like analytically, I get that though. Like analytically,
I get that. Crazy. And then when you look and say he's like 5'9", 210, 215. And again, what do you want though if you have lower level competition? You want him to dominate, and he has done that. So other than transferring, you know, what else could he really do? So.
But why didn't he? That's another thing. Why didn't he though?
Right. I am so fascinated by. Oh, well, actually, what I heard is because I actually talked to Jeff Caves, who's the Boise State guy. Like he's been doing color commentary there for 25 years. And like, he knows all these guys. He was comparing them and he has them very high on the hierarchy. And that's compared to Jay Ajayi. That's compared to Doug Martin. And he's like, Gentee is a guy. He's a dude. And he also said, you know, the next guy coming up, which is it Spiro? You probably know it. Incoming freshman. Well, anyway, this next guy is going to be the next Boise State running back that you're going to see pop up with some big time production in 2025. So he's another, you know, incoming freshman that I wasn't even tracking. So, but yeah, Gentee, man, he's got such a good profile that if he went day three, it would really surprise me. So just historically speaking, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But man, it's a fascinating class. I think running back 2025, I'm here for it because, you know, like Jonathan Brooks's fear popped up, you know, and that was a relative surprise. He wasn't starting until this past year, pretty much. And then you had Blake Corum kind of falling back. And I just fascinating storylines. But I think next year is going to just be maybe we see three or four of these guys go back to school because they're like, if I'm going to be running back eight, you know, is that do I go back to school? So that's going to be a factor too.
I was going to ask you with your running back model before Bucky Irving ran what he did and tested like he did, was he very high in your model as well?
Let me see. Not overly so. I mean, obviously, athleticism is a part of it. He really good receiver, but his rushing score is 36%. So for me, that wasn't. So he's more of a receiving centric. And honestly, for a guy that's going to be around 200 pounds, like I was hoping he scrapes above 200. And I was hoping we could squint and see him as that, you know, he's big enough. He's a tweener and that good enough. But it just really it centered more on that. Well, now he's a athletically limited player to some degree. And again, I think he looks more explosive on tape than he tested. So I'm going to give him that. Yeah. So more twitchy than that. And then, but the problem for me is, man, you've got to be a workhorse-ish type guy if you're small. And I think the smaller you are, like you think back to guys like Eckler and Danny Woodhead and some of these sub-sized players, Jacquizz Rodgers, like they all had really good rushing scores and they were still having some of that limitation at the NFL level when you translated it over. So when you have someone that has a below average rushing score and they're also sub-sized, that's a real tough equation. So I just... That was the big hole for me that he didn't put it together size wise, you know, didn't get really any bigger the last, I think, 1 to 2 years of his career.
Yeah.
And that's always the thing. You know, I talk about that with Katie Flower, who's a big Debbie entity that, you know, she doesn't really mess with incoming freshman running back that are like below maybe 195 or 200 minimum, just because you have so much work to do size wise to get up to a range that we like. That you getting to 215, 220 is a tough task. Now, if you start at 210, it's really easy. If you start at 200, you got a pretty good chance. But some of these guys start at like 180, and it's just
that's a real
tough sell. Getting to 200 is an achievement, you know, for some of these guys. And they might lose some of their athleticism and twitchiness. So you have to be careful there. And then sometimes you draft a guy that's 225, 230, and you're like, hopefully he doesn't get bulk up because he might be a linebacker. So it goes both ways. You know, like you got, what is it, Roderick Robinson right now, who's like, he came in at he's like 230 up. Or something. So it's like, you got to be a little careful on both sides of the spectrum.
Raheem Sanders last year ballooned up Raheem to like 245.
Sanders, lost a lot of juice. This guy?
Blew out his knee. Like, who knows? Maybe that was the extra weight that did that as well. And I will just say to going on to your weight gain thing, we've done some studies in the past. And, you know, looking over, I think maybe like the last 10 or 20 years that reasonably you can expect about 14 pounds from right. when a prospect enters college to when he eventually enters the NFL draft. And that's just reasonably. Some people don't hate that at all. But if you can't reasonably see in that 14-pound range to get to somewhere that you want, chances are that play, that player is not going to be.
So you're starting at 180 to 210, like you know, and yeah. it's, or it's 200 to 215. Are you guys the ones that broke it down also? It was like by conference or by yes. star yeah. rating as well?
Our guy Chris yeah. Moxley that did that. Yeah, very, amazing that research, yeah. Yes, amazing read. So yeah, he broke it down by conference, which conferences do that. He's done stuff too where he even says which teams lie about the weight the most. You know, like guys who are the biggest alt. So he has all this stuff. He does all these fun research things. So yeah, definitely a guy you guys need to follow as well. Chris Moxley there from our website.
Yeah, I love that. So in addition to him, where can they find you and your great work there in terms of following you on X as well as your content? And what are you kind of working on there at Campus to Canton?
Yeah, you can find me at FF_guitarist on X or on Twitter. I'm always posting clips, just talking about Devi. I'm mostly talking about college. Sometimes I'm still talking about Dynasty. I still love the NFL game. Who doesn't? We all love the NFL game. So you can find me on there. You can find my work on campustocanton.com, written work. I do video work there on the YouTube channel as well with Campus Canton as well. And you can find me every Wednesday on the Back to Devi podcast on the Campus Canton YouTube feed. And we just finished wrapping up that 2024 Devi guide that I was talking about earlier in the show. That thing's 250 profiles, advanced stats, tiers, rankings, ADP of where these guys are going. We've been running mocks since the beginning of January to see where a lot of these guys are going. So we have a general idea of where these guys are going. And, you know, it's everything you need to really attack your Devi drafts this year. That's a $20 purchase at the website. If you become a membership, there are some cheaper options for you as well. Some of the memberships you can get it for free. So head on over there to see everything that we got going on over there at campuscan.com.
Excellent stuff. Good to talk with you as always, Corey Pereira. And like you said, you can find all his resources on Twitter/X and Campus to Canton, as well as the Back to Devi podcast. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those best.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.